Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
This morning I will be reading Matthew 11, verses 7 through 17. Matthew 11, verses 7 through 17. And it reads as follows. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written. Behold, I send you my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. I have just read for you Matthew 11, verses 7 through 17. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and doers of his word.
Good morning to you. May I tell you how glad I am to see you here. And we have a great crowd of folks gathered. How many are caught up on their daily Bible reading? Excellent. Great. I want to advertise a couple of things before we jump into our lesson. In the month of December, I plan to preach a series of sermons called The Nine Faces of the Cross. And so it's going to be just a series of character studies, the personalities that surround the cross. So we're going to talk about Mary Magdalene. We're going to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, Simon of Cyrene, and Peter. And anyway, I hope it'll be a great study for us. And this Wednesday night, the day before Thanksgiving, we're going to all meet in the auditorium and do something that has become, well, quite a tradition for the West Huntsville family. We're going to have a devotional in which I will be asking the men of the church to just stand in there right from where they're sitting and tell us what they're thankful for. It'll be extemporaneous. Nobody's going to be forced to do it, but it's always a great time of prayer and scripture reading and devotion to God, and I hope that you can be here this Wednesday night. Kowalski did a great job reading from Matthew chapter 11, and there's a passage in there, a verse in 16 and 17, that's kind of puzzling, and I want to explain it to launch us into our discussion today about calling. And Jesus said, how shall I liken this generation? What's this generation like? It's like children. It's like children in the marketplace calling out to their companions and saying, we played the flute, but you didn't dance. We sang mirth, or rather a lament, and you didn't grieve. And the point, the context is John the Baptist is in prison. He's about to be killed. And Jesus says to them, what kind of man did you think John was going to be? John is struggling in prison and even sends Jesus, his disciples, a message to say, are you the one that should come or do we look for another? I think that John is struggling. Emotionally, he's struggling. He knows that the execution is very close and he knows that this is Jesus. But I think he's having a real hard time, and Jesus grieves over that suffering, and he sends a gentle word to John the Baptist. Of course, it's me. The death hear, the blind can see, the lame can walk, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. But then Jesus goes to the multitude, and you can feel the frustration in him, because they've listened to the call of God come from John the Baptist, and the call come from Jesus himself, and by and large, they're rejecting it. And it's frustrating. What did you go out to see? What did you expect from John the Baptist? Did you expect somebody with a limp wrist dressed in velvet, like in a king's house? Well, I mean, you looked at how he was dressed. Camel's hair, and he ate things that seemed strange to them. And you look how you rejected him. The call of God coming from John, but you rejected him. You called him a demon. You said he has a demon. And then I come. I don't dress like John. I dress like you. I don't eat like John. I eat like you. That didn't suit you. You look at me and you say, he's a wine bibber and he's a glutton. He said, you know what you're like? You know what you're like? He said, you're like children in a marketplace. And they call to their companions and they say, come and play with us. I tell you what, we'll play like we're in a wedding. And we'll play the flute for you. And then we'll dance and we'll have fun and it'll be wonderful. And the companion said, no. We don't want to play. When you were a kid, were you sometimes like that and you said, I'm just bored. And your friend says, okay, let's do this. No, I don't want to do that. No. Jesus said, that's how it is. Okay, look, I tell you what. If you don't want to play like a wedding, let's play like a funeral. And we will lament and we will mourn and it'll be great fun. Well, you say, we'll pretend a funeral. No, I don't want to do that either. Jesus said, that's how this generation is. We try to present the call of God to you. And no matter how we do it, it's not good enough. And you reject it. There's the point of that line about we played the flute and you didn't dance, and we lament and you won't mourn. There's the point. It's a frustration over what's happening with John and the fact that they're rejecting Jesus. I want to talk about calling today. The last few weeks, this sermon's been in the works. I've put it down a few times because this is challenging to me. But I'm ready now. I want to talk about calling. That is to say, occasions in the New Testament when you find the word call or called or calling. And what you'll find is that it's used in a number of different ways. And I want to talk about each of those. Now, we do this. We do this with the word calling. If I say to Mrs. Colley, and I often do, Cindy, I wish that you would take your phone with you and make sure it's charged and keep it on because I may need to call you. Right? That's a common way to use it. Or maybe I will be summoned to court to testify. And we would say, I've been called to testify. I mean by that, I've been summoned to do that. Or maybe I would say to someone, so you named your little girl after your grandfather, Jacob Eliezer. What are you going to call her? Yeah. Sometimes we use the word call to refer to a name. To naming someone. Well, the New Testament uses the word call in a number of fascinating ways. Now, why this is important is because it has to do with communication between God and man, or between man and God. Five ways that the word call, or a derivative thereof, is used in the New Testament. Number one, sometimes it's used in the common way, that is, audibly calling out to someone. You find it used this way in Acts 7 and verse 59. And here's the stoning of Stephen, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they began throwing stones at him. He knew that he was about to cross over. And the Bible says that he saw God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he called out to God saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, I want you to understand that he wasn't calling out to God like that merely because he was being stoned. He was calling out to God like that because he was a Christian who was about to cross over Jordan. And countless thousands of Christians through the years, the last 2,000 years, upon realizing that only moments stand between them and eternity, only moments before they'll cross over the river. Well, this is a natural thing to call out to God this way. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And so here's the first one. Now, here's the second one. Go to number two. And sometimes it has to do with Christian. Now I love this. In Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2, you have the launching of the name Christian way on back there in the Old Testament in prophecy. And Isaiah said, now, when the Gentiles see your righteousness and the kings see your glory, you're going to be called by a new name. Now, get this. The place of origin of that name is God. It's going to come from the mouth of God. All right? Now, hold that thought, and we jump all the way to the New Testament. In Acts chapter 10, you have the first Gentile convert to Christianity. Who was that? Cornelius. All right? First Gentiles, Cornelius and his house. Now chapter 11, verse 26, the disciples were called, there's our word, they were called Christians first in Antioch. Do you hear Isaiah's voice echoing in your ears? Isaiah said, when the Gentiles see the glory, when they see it, then you're going to be called by a new name. What's the new name? It's Christian. Now, the word called in Acts chapter 11 here in 26, the Greek word means literally, are you ready for this? Called by God. Sometimes people will mistakenly say the name Christian came as a name of derision from the enemies of Jesus. Wrong. Wrong. It's not true. What is true is that God called them Christians. Now, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11 and 12, I love this. He said, we pray for you that the name of Jesus Christ might be glorified by you or in you. What's that? I'm a Christian. That is to say that because I follow Jesus, I get to wear his name. And so James 2 says that sometimes there are people who criticize or chastise you by the worthy name by which you're called, or the noble name by which you are called. What are you? I'm a Christian. I wear the name Christian. Now, let's go to the next one. Here's number three. Now, this one's only used one time. So far as I can tell, in all of the Bible, the only one time that I could find when the word called or call is used this way is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, having to do with the plan of God for my life. Now, do you believe that God has a particular plan for your life? Now, I'm not talking about the broad sense in which he wants us all to be saved. I'm talking about, like, your vocation, for example. Well, I don't know. I don't know all about this. I would say that it's true that God gives us our talents. We're different about that, and some of the skills that you have, I don't have, and perhaps vice versa. We would often say to somebody who is particularly talented, he has God-given talent. Is that true? Yeah. Well, yeah. That being the case, I would say that there's a sense in which God charts our course while we still have the ability to choose, of course. We have choice. Now, having said that, here's 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 20. And he says, let everybody abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Now, our word is twice in this verse. The last one, called there, means when you became a Christian. We're going to talk about that some more in a few minutes. But look at the first use here. Abide in the same calling. Apparently meaning the socioeconomic state that you were in. Now, sometimes people look at this passage and they say, abide in the same calling wherewith you are called, and they'll attach it to some sinful lifestyle, particularly in reference to adultery, living in adultery or an adulterous relationship. Abide in that. That's not what he's talking about. Of course, that doesn't make any sense. You know, stay in the sin that you were in when you became a Christian. That doesn't make any sense at all. But what it does mean is that, and he gives illustrations. If you're single and become a Christian, that doesn't mean they have to be married. If you're married in a scriptural marriage, that just becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you have to separate from your spouse. Or he says, were you called as a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised? You don't have to try to change that. Were you a slave when you became a Christian? You don't have to seek to be free just because you're a Christian now. Be a Christian slave. And so that's the point. Where I am is that this use of the word calling here has to do with my vocation. It has to do with what I'm good at, what I do in my life. Number four, and this is the big one. This is the most important one. This use of the word call is that God calls me, and then I call on God. Now, this is beautiful. I and you see it used this way in the second chapter of Acts in both ways. So here's the launching pad of the church. Here's the beginning of the church of Christ, Acts chapter 2. And in verse 21, this, it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now look at verse 38 and 39. Repent, be baptized. Here's Peter preaching to those people. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the promise is unto you and unto your children, unto all them that are far off. Ready? Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God calls us, and we then call on God. There has never been anybody saved who wasn't called by God, and there's never been anybody saved who didn't call on or who wasn't called by God. It goes both ways, all right? Now, I want to talk about both, so let's break them apart. The first one is that God calls us. So how does God call us? This is a fascination to me. The one verse, here's 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14, that says it very explicitly. It's like this. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. How does he call people today? If your idea is that maybe he calls you like he called Samuel or Ananias, where he audibly speaks to you in some still small voice, the Bible doesn't teach that. That's not how he communicates to us today. The way that he calls to people today is by the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 says the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Look at the cross. What do you see? I see the redemption of mankind. You see the gospel call. What you see is how God calls to people. It's something, the gospel is preached, Galatians 1:8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Let him be accursed. The method of calling is the gospel. The gospel is something which is preached. The gospel is appealing. So in John 12, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he's talking about the cross. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The gospel's like that. Now that doesn't mean that everybody in the world is going to become a Christian, but it means people of all kindreds, of all nations, would one day become Christians. Why? Because they're attracted by the cross. And the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, is how Jesus reaches out. He calls to people by the gospel. But now the gospel has to be obeyed. And so 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When? In the judgment day. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the description of the gospel. It's something which is preached. It's something that's attractive. It's something that has to be obeyed. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's the way that he calls to us. I've been reading, studying the word called through the Bible through this week and this past week. And I'm telling you, this is amazing. This is beautiful. You read over these verses and you just don't hardly notice them. But run some references with me about the characteristics of this calling. Now remember, we're called by the gospel. We're called by the cross to Jesus Christ and to salvation. Here's descriptive terminology about that calling. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now the word saint in the New Testament just means those who belong to God. It's not special, some special kind of Christian. It's just a Christian, somebody who belongs to God. But we're called to that. Here's the next one. I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. You know what's attached to this calling? It's grace. What's attached to this is unmerited favor. There's the cross. Here's the next one. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, you're around people and so am I. Every week they're walking in darkness. I mean by that, their lives are in such trouble and they become their own worst enemies because the house that they're living in spiritually is built on the sand instead of the rock. And they keep making bad decisions. Because their decisions aren't based on what would be pleasing to Jesus Christ. And he calls us out of that. Let me show you how to live. Let me show you how to be truly happy. Let me show you how to have a real meaning in your life. He calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now here's the next one. But may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. You want to talk about the calling? The calling is by the cross. The message of God to mankind is the cross. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we preach it, and it's got to be obeyed. And it's amazing. It's out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're called to be saints. And that's how God calls us. Now let's shift gears. I have to call on God. So now back to Acts 2, the launching pad for the church of our Lord. And you have the word called used in both ways. He calls us, we call on him. All right. In verse 21 of Acts 2, Peter is quoting from Joel, and he says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This same quote is found over in Romans chapter 10. I'll reference that in verse 13. I'll reference that in a minute. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what does that mean? I can tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't just mean shouting out the name of Jesus. It doesn't mean praying the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer is not in the New Testament. That's manufactured. That's something concocted in the minds of men. The way you reach out for salvation is you call on the name of the Lord by the sinner's prayer. It's not there. Follow what happened. And by the way, Matthew 7 and 21 says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not calling out like that. This is unique. This is special. So how does a person call on the name of the Lord in response to him calling us for the gospel? How do we call out to him? Well, what happened in Acts 2? So Peter stood up and he began to preach. And he says in 21, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now what happens? Peter preaches about Jesus. He preaches about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. About the cross. And he testifies to the truthfulness of Jesus Christ. He gets down to verse 38 and he says, repent. They're starting to cry out. They're worried about going to hell. They're worried about the anger and vengeance of God. What shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then 3,000 people were baptized. Verse 41. And verse 47 says, those people were added to the church, the sphere of the saved. You know what just happened? People came to God. People found salvation through Jesus Christ. They were saved. All right? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, in Romans 10, you have this same phraseology in verse 13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But now follow the text. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, what it is that will show them how to call on the name of the Lord is the preaching of the gospel. You want to know how to call on the name of the Lord? This is where it's very explicitly stated. Acts 22 and 16. And now, why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In other words, that's how you do it. It's about obedience. He calls us by the cross, and then we call on him by obedience. When I was a boy, I can remember when I was 5 years old or six, sometimes I would have bad dreams. Children do that, you know. Sometimes parents here in this church have asked me about their kids. You know, he's having bad dreams sometimes, nightmares, and we're concerned about that. Well, you know, children sometimes do that. I think it's part of growing, that little maturing process of the mind and of the body. And anyway, I can remember doing that. I can remember in the night being in a half asleep, half awake state and seeing little creatures in my room marching about. I was scared. And I really saw them. Now, they were there, mind you. And I would muster, I remember trying to muster the courage to say my father's name. He was in their bedroom, and the next room was right beside there. And if I could just, of course, really what it was, if I could just wake up enough to say his name, that I knew that it would be all right. Because when I would say, Daddy, and he would respond, You know what happened to those little creatures? They all went away. And everything was all right. And I look at my life and I say, I've lost my way. And I'm living in sin. And I'm going to go live in a nightmare for all eternity. And I need to call out to my God. And that's what this is about. He calls to me with the cross of Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. There's an appeal to that. The sacrificial, vicarious death of Jesus for all mankind. And it's salvation. You can have forgiveness. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. Let me show you how to do it. It's the cross. It's the gospel. And he calls out to me. And I call out to him. I call on his name. And I do that when I'm baptized. It was so true and so critical that in Acts chapter 9, you find that the early disciples were referred to, or they referred to themselves as those who call on the name of the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 9. Here's Ananias, and the Lord has come to him and said, now look, I want you to accept, go teach Saul. I don't know if I want to teach Saul. You know, Lord, here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. You know, that's a description of disciples. The disciples they described each other by those who call on thy name. And then Saul becomes a Christian, and the other Christians in Damascus, they're real nervous about Saul. I mean, he's been an enemy of Christianity. And look at this. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem? You know who those people are? They're you. It's you. These are people who are disciples of Jesus Christ. How do you describe them? They're people who call on his name. How'd they do that? They were baptized into Christ, and now they're walking in his light. Who are they? They're the people who call on his name. All right, let's do one more. Here's the fifth one. Of the way that the word call is used, or a derivative, in the New Testament. And this one is rather remarkable too. If you're a child of God, you are referred to in the New Testament by the name the called. Characterized, distinguished, I think, by the little article, the, T-H-E, you're the called. Christians are the called. Now, I struggle with this because the gospel call, that's the way that God calls us, but he calls all people with the gospel, right? I mean, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And yet, when those who receive, they accept it and they're baptized, they become Christians, those people's name is the called. They become the called. And what you have is this. Through the New Testament, there are many, many names for Christians. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, and you can... It's almost like a synopsis of all of the plan of salvation and Christianity just by the name. So you can, I mean, so what are Christians called in the New Testament? What comes into your mind? They're stones in a living house. They're the seed of Abraham. They are disciples. They are saints. Obviously, they are Christians. And I mean, they're the flock. And the list just goes on. Well, add to that list that they are the called. And what you have here is a name for Christians. And it's the point is that he's elevating the whole principle up to, while he called everybody by the gospel, here are those who accepted it. And he elevates that and says, these people are the called. Now you see these verses over in Romans, a couple of times where he uses this way, chapter 1, verse 6, among whom you are also the called. A very familiar verse is Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. There are the five ways. Jesus had just heard from John the Baptist. I mean, now we get back to where we started. Jesus had just heard from John the Baptist, and John was struggling. He was facing execution. And are you the one that should come, or should we look for another? And it did something to Jesus, something to hurt him. He loved John, and he knew what he was going through. And he sends a gentle message to John, but then he says to the multitudes, what did you expect? What did you expect of John? And here's who he is. He's the Elijah of the Old Testament, come as a forerunner for me. What did you expect of me? And the point is that he's saying, we call to you like children. It's like children who call to their companions, and the companions say, we don't want any part of this. We don't want to dance with you. We don't want to cry with you. We're not going to play. We don't want to do what you want to do. It's just like children. And I've called you. I've called you. And so 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12 says that we are called to everlasting life. In Philippians 3 and 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, Paul says, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are before, I press toward the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. The high calling. I want to know if you're following the high calling. I mean, have you reached the potential of your life, which is to be in Christ Jesus, which is to be able to wear, legitimately wear his name? I'm a Christian. You know, you just can't just wear the name. You have to come to him on his terms. You've got to heed the call, which is the gospel, and you've got to obey the gospel before you can legitimately wear the name Christian. I want to know, have you listened to his call? And then I want to know, have you called on him? That is, have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins and confessed him? And have you been baptized? You see, that's how we call on him. Have you been baptized to have your sins washed away? And wouldn't now be a great time to do that? We're going to sing a song of encouragement. I want you to consider the fact that God is calling. There has never been a person saved who wasn't called by God. Every person who ever was saved became saved because he was called. He was called by the gospel of Jesus. And nobody ever comes to God unless he calls on God. Have you done that? Would you like to do that today? We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.